Blog Talk Radio.
Saints, welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I hope you're all doing well, and I hope you're looking forward to tonight's prayer meeting, which starts at 6:55 p.m. And, of course, don't forget tomorrow we're all going to be joining our church family at the Enia Funeral Home there on 9 Center Street. The viewing of Sister Caroline Hayes is from 3 to 5, and then the service starts promptly at 5 p.m. I shall be there. Sister Linda, my wife, shall be there, and I hope you're there. We are one big spiritual family, and we are pausing to grieve, to mourn, to weep. You know, the Bible says that when Moses died and Aaron died and such luminaries of the Hebrew congregation, that they mourned for 30 days. They paused. They did nothing but mourned the great loss. And that's what I feel, a great loss, a great, great loss. And so tomorrow we are showing up to pay our respects and to console the family and to weep with those that weep, says the Bible. You know, there's a lot of super spiritual people who are, they're not really spiritual at all. They're quite stupid, if you ask me. Because they'll show up at a funeral, they'll show up at a service like the one we're having tomorrow, and they'll say, "Why are you people weeping? She's in heaven." No, the Bible says, Paul encourages us to weep with those who weep. And weeping is just part of life. Weeping is medicinal. Weeping is good for the soul. So we are not hypocrites. We are not holier than thous. We weep with those that weep. And for those people who say, why are they weeping? Don't they have a hope? Yes. Paul says that we should not weep as those who have no hope. See, they don't read the scripture properly. We should not weep as those who have no hope, but we can weep as those who have hope. And we weep because we're going to miss. We weep because we're heartbroken. We weep because we'll never be the same. That person is gone. And that person takes with them everything that they contributed to the church. And Sister Caroline Hayes, despite her age, was making wonderful contributions to our congregation. So we're going to show up there tomorrow. We're looking at this text here in Psalm 84:12. It is the continuation of the text we looked at last week, Psalm 84:11. But this week it says, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Are you trusting in the Lord? Are you putting all your faith and all your hope in God? If you are trusting in the Lord of hosts, the Lord who commands all the armies, he commands all the armies of angels, and he commands the armies of men, and he commands the armies of creatures. He commands bears, and he commands lions. He commands donkeys. He commands the ants. He commands the worms. He commands the ravens. He commands the quails. You read your Bible, and you will find that there's been many, many, many episodes, too many to highlight in a teaching like this, in a broadcast like this, all the times God commanded his creatures. So he commands angels, he commands men, and he commands the lower creatures of creation. And he also commands nature. God commands the rain and the wind. Yes, he does. He commands the snow. You read your Bible. He commands the fog. Yes, he does. God commands great rivers. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 15, in the song of Moses, with a blast of his nostrils, he parted the sea. He rebuked the sea, and it was parted. My brothers and sisters, we serve an awesome God, a military God, a God who will fight on behalf of his people. And that's why when you read it in the common English Bible, it reads like this: Lord of heavenly forces, those who trust in you are truly happy. Why? Because they're truly victorious. The Amplified Bible reads like this: O Lord of hosts, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, is the man who trusts in you, the man who leans on you and believes on you, commits all his ways to you, confidently looking to you, and a man, a woman, who comes to you without fear or misgivings. We have no misgivings of God's promises. We have no misgivings that God can keep his word. Absolutely not. He's the Lord of hosts. So we're looking at this text. We are what kind of people? A blessed people. Why? Because the God we serve commands many, many, many armies. Many. So I hope you read all the write-up there on what does it mean when the Bible refers to the Lord as the Lord of hosts. And today, Tuesday, January 17th, we're going to see that the Lord of Shabbat, the Lord of hosts, commands the armies of Israel and the church militant. God has two armies of men. One in the Old Testament called the armies of Israel, made up of the 12 tribes. And then he also commands the church militant, which is the New Testament church. He commands us. Now, their militancy was different than ours, and we need to make that distinction. They wrestled against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle, Paul says, against flesh and blood. They did. We don't. We're not fighting men. We're not getting into hand-to-hand combat with the Canaanites or the Edomites or the Moabites or the Ammonites or the Philistines or the Assyrians or the Babylonians or the Medes, the Persians. We're not buying swords and shields and arrows and going into combat with chariots. No, that's not our militancy style today. Our spiritual battle today is just that, spiritual. We're fighting the forces of darkness, Satan, his demons, and those whom Satan controls and manipulates. Our warfare is one of scripture. Our sword is not a sword made out of brass or steel, forged in fire. Our sword is the word of God. Our shield is a shield of faith. Our helmet is one of salvation. So again, we need to make those distinctions. Now, that said, both the armies of God in the Old Testament and the armies of God in the New Testament fight many, many things. Too many to enumerate. Too many. I'll just mention a few. For example, the people of God in the Old Testament as well as the people of God in the New Testament, what do they fight against? False teaching. False teaching. Moses said to the children of Israel, when you go into the land that the Lord God of your fathers will give you, you will not learn the way of the Canaanites. You will not adopt their gods. You will not adopt their religious practices. You will not adopt their religious abominations. To us, Jude says in his epistle, the third verse, saints, I want you to earnestly contend for the faith. So what are we contending? What are we pushing back? We're pushing back error, and we're contending for the pure doctrine that was once handed to us. So that's one of the things that we contend against. Heresy, error. Something else that we contend against is against poverty. In the Old Testament, God's people were to contend against poverty. The same holds true for us today. As the Lord's army, we are to fight what? Hunger, poverty, despair. I'll elaborate a little bit today. But notice, God sends his army. God uses his people. God uses the soldiers of the cross to contend against poverty, hunger, and despair. Like I said, there's many things that we are to fight against. Many things. Poverty is one of them. So, the Lord of hosts, if you look at your outline, right under the picture of the soldier with the sword, right under the picture of the soldiers of the cross who are doing what? They're lifting up Jesus. They're lifting up the cross. Jesus said, if I be lifted, I'll draw all men unto you. The armies of Christ today have one goal, to lift up Jesus in this great battle of good versus evil. So now, in this short story that we have here, the title of the story is The Lord of Hosts Sends a Burgomaster. A Burgomaster. A Burgomaster is the German equivalent of what we call a mayor. Every little hamlet, every village, every big city has a what? A mayor. A mayor. And so, this is a story written down by the great Bible teacher, F.B. Meyer. Whatever book you find written by F.B. Meyer, scoop it up. Whenever you find a book written by F.B. Meyer, read it. If it's in your local library, read it. If you go into an old bookstore and you see a book by F.B. Meyer, buy it. His writings are just amazing. A tremendous Bible teacher and one who wrote devotionally, one who wrote to minister to the heart and not just the mind. Now, F.B. Meyer wrote up this little story, and it appeared in a magazine, and the title of the story is God's Ravens. God's Ravens. So let's read. A little boy, having read with his mother the story of how God fed Elijah by the ravens, sat on the wintry night in a fireless room beside a bare table. Notice, cold night, wintry night. There was no wood. The room was what? Fireless. No heat. Both mom and child, both mother and child, were cold. And not just cold, but hungry. The table was bare. With a simple faith, childish trust, he asked his widowed mother if he might set the door open for God's ravens to come in. Oh, he just read the story of how God sent the ravens to feed Elijah. So he says, Mom, if God is God, can I leave the door open so that God will send his ravens and they may come in? It goes on to say the story, I feel sure they must be on their way, said the boy. The trustful mother granted the request. The burgomaster of the German town, passing by, was attracted by the sight of the open door and entered, inquiring the cause. Now think about it. It's a cold, cold night. It's a cold German wintry night. Who leaves their windows open on a cold winter night? Who leaves their door open on a cold? No one. So this piqued the curiosity of the burgomaster. And he probably said to his chauffeur, stop. I need to inquire. This is one of the people that I govern. I must find out why is this door open. So no doubt he knocks on the door, and when he learned the reason, he said, I will be God's raven. He relieved the boy and his widow mother then and afterwards. In other words, he met their financial needs. He fed them, and he provided heat for their home. Perhaps even paid their rent or their mortgage or whatever the issue was. Whatever it says here, when he learned the reason, he declared. When the boy told him, listen, I'm waiting for, you know, I read the story. No doubt the little boy said to him, I read the story tonight. My mother and I read the story of how God sent the ravens to feed the prophet. And here we are. Wait, the door is open because I'm waiting for the ravens, and I'm sure that the burgomaster looked. There's no wood in the fireplace. There's no fire going on. It's a cold room. The table is bare. The boy is hungry. And right then and there, he said, I will be God's raven. And met the need. See, that's what being part of God's army is. He just didn't meet the need once. He just didn't take care of it then. He took care of it then and afterwards. He was a continual blessing to that mother and child. F.B. Meyer goes on to conclude the story by quoting scripture, trust in the Lord and do good, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Psalm 37, verse 3. So, my brothers and sisters, you see, the Lord has an army, the Lord of hosts. Yes, God has ravens who are real ravens. They are real creatures. They are real fowls. But then God has human ravens. People who allow themselves to be touched whenever a need arises, and they deliver food to the person in need as the ravens of old deliver food to the prophet Elijah. Now, the Lord of hosts sends us to combat poverty, hunger, and despair. And I'm only going to read today the scriptures that are highlighted or that are in bold. Can't read them all. I want to read to you Exodus 22 through 24. Let's turn there, Exodus 22. And this is what God says to his militant people, the Jews of old, the Hebrews of old. Remember, I told you that the Israelites, all 12 tribes, made up God's great army. And this is what God said to every soldier in that army. You will not afflict any widow or fatherless child. You won't afflict them. You won't afflict your own. You will not take advantage of those who are in my church, widow and fatherless. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry out unto me, in other words, if they pray, if you abuse them, if you afflict them, if you rob them, if you do them wrong, and they cry out unto me, I will surely hear their cry. This is the Lord of hosts speaking. This is the God who commands all these armies. He says, if they cry out to me, I will hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the what? Sword. And your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. You men, you touch any woman, you abuse of any widow or her child, and I will return the favor by making your wife and your children widows and orphans. That's what the Lord says. That's the militant God who speaks to his militant people. I will take out my sword. Your sword is no match for my sword. Now, in Malachi chapter 3, Malachi 3:5, and boy, does God have a lot to say about widows and orphans. This is what God says in Malachi 3:5. He says, I will come near to you to what? To judge you. To judgment, it says in the King James, but it really means to judge you. In other words, to bring calamity to you. This is God speaking to his militant people. He's speaking to his church. I, the Lord, he says in verse 5, I will come near to you, not for revival, not to pour out my spirit, but to bring desolation, to bring judgment. And this judgment will be swift. It will be a swift witness against sorcerers, adulterers, false swearers, against those who oppress the hireling, or the bosses who oppress those whom they hire, those who work for them. I will bring swift judgment upon those who oppress the widow and the fatherless, and turn aside the foreigner. And I will bring swift judgment because you fear me not, saith the Lord of all the armies. In other words, God is saying, you don't want to mess with me. I'm giving you fair warning. Get your act together. If you attack my people, if you hurt my people, the ones I've enumerated here, I will come against you so fast, and I will hit you so hard. And you won't know which way I'm coming, because you won't know if I'm sending an angel to take care of you, or if I'm sending a lion or a she-bear to mow you down. You won't know what hit you. You just won't know. But when I hit you, you're not getting up. Say it, the Lord of all the armies. Now, to the New Testament church, James says this in James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means what we just read, what F.B. Meyer just told us about, the Burgermeister. He discovered, he found out that there was a little boy there, a little fatherless boy, who was going to bed, who was in a house that wasn't warm. The little boy was freezing, and his mother was freezing. The little boy was hungry, and his mama were hungry. But they opened the Bible. They got some manna from heaven, and the manna from heaven told them that God fed Elijah by means of ravens, and the little boy's faith was stirred up. And he said, "Mama, I know this doesn't make sense, but can we leave the door open? I sense God is sending the ravens." You see, that's what it means. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit. That word visit isn't just to knock on the door and inquire like the Burgermeister did. That's only the beginning. To visit means to bring the supplies needed, to bring the wood, to bring the groceries. That's what it means to visit. To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted, untainted, unmixed from the world. That's pure religion. So are you a soldier of Christ? Are you a soldier of the Lord Jesus? Are you a New Testament soldier? Well, if you are, what are you fighting? Are you fighting heresy? Are you opposing error? And here's something else we can oppose together: hunger, poverty, despair, the kind that the little boy and his mother were experiencing. You see, the Bible says, "Oh, Lord of hosts, happy is the man." Now, let's remove the word man. Happy, oh, Lord of hosts, happy is the little boy. Happy is that little heart. All their trust in thee. That little boy said to his mother, "Leave the door open. God's ravens are on their way. Happy." And you see, sometimes we have to have crazy faith. Sometimes we have to have little boy faith. Little boy faith is, I believe, whatever the Bible says. Some of us are just too old and we've lived too long and we say, "That can't be true. That can't happen today." But you see, that little boy was so, he believed so much in God's word. He said, if the Bible says God sent ravens to Elijah, God sent ravens. And I can claim the same blessing. He's the same Lord of hosts. He did it back then, and he can do it today. Mama, leave the door open. The blessing is on the way. Now, obviously, it wasn't a fouled creature that brought him anything. It wasn't a feathered creature that brought him wood and food. No, it was the mayor. But the mayor said, "I'll be God's raven. I'll step in. I will provide the miracle that you're praying for, because God has saved me. And since he saved me, I'm part of his army. And if I'm part of his army, I've got to be in this army that fights poverty, hunger, and despair." You read the book of Acts. You read about the church in action. And what did the church in action always do? they relieved widows. By the way, it was widows and the care of widows that caused the office of the deacon to be invented. Read Acts 6. Acts 6 was the cause, the catalyst. Widows in need. Widows who needed to be fed. Widows who needed to be cared for. You see, the early church, the early followers of Christ, the 12 apostles understood that the church had what? A battle against despair, poverty, hunger. So they added to their ranks officers called deacons to do what? To win the battle over hunger, despair, and poverty. See, we need to read our Bibles with this clear understanding. As I said in a recent sermon, God will frown upon our infighting. Not that we're infighting. That's not our bag. That's not what we're into. But if we happen to get into infighting, if we start liking infighting, if we get addicted to infighting, God will frown upon us. Why? Because the church is not called to be at war against itself. And God would be what? He would frown upon our cowardice. Two things he would be against: us destroying each other, as James says in his epistle. That's one thing God would dislike about us. And the second thing would be our cowardice to stare down error, our cowardice to stare down wolves, our cowardice to fight the good fight of faith, but also our cowardice against poverty. Against meeting the needs. Why? Because he's the Lord of hosts. He owns everything. He has it all. He owns it all. All the armies of his. All the silver and gold is his. Now, we just have to believe it the same way the little boy believed it and leave the door open. You know, on Christmas Eve, how many children are told to put out hay for the reindeers? I remember as a little boy, I was told, go get hay for the reindeers, and I would go get hay. And then put out a glass of milk for Santa. We would put out a glass of milk for Santa. Put out some cookies for Santa. We would put out some cookies for Santa. He's coming tonight. He's coming tonight. And we say, do we leave the door open? No, he's coming down the chimney. We don't have a chimney. Well, don't worry. He'll find out a way. He's got magical powers to get into the house. We always ask, how is he going to get in here? We don't have a chimney. Do we leave the door open? No, don't leave the door open. You know, they'll rob the house. We left stuff out for Santa and his reindeers because we were told he was coming. Do we have that same expectation when it comes to God? Do we have that true faith when it comes to God? Oh, my brothers and sisters, I hope so. Well, we'll leave it there. We'll leave it there today. We'll come back. We will come back tomorrow and continue this amazing series. And it's amazing because of the amazing text. Oh, Lord of hosts. Happy, fortunate, and to be envied is that little boy who trusteth in thee. Never to be disappointed. Never to be let down. Why? Because he serves the living God. Glory be to his name. God bless you, saints. See you tonight.
Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest, I am my Savior. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.